Hey, Being at Work listeners, welcome back to another guest episode. This is your host, Andrea Butcher. Oh, we've got a good one for you today. What I so appreciate about this forum is there's always prep and connection that happens in advance, and then we hop on the feed and it evolves in a way that I don't expect. That happened today. We got to some core things that we had talked about initially, but what actually ended up happening through this conversation is a culture story emerged, and it's a culture that we've all experienced. Nick Lawrence is the guest today, and he's the vice president of human resources for one of the largest franchise groups at Chick-fil-A. Yep, I bet you're familiar with that brand. He's going to talk about their culture. He's going to share a great story that highlights the culture. Actually, he's going to share multiple stories that highlight the culture. But what you really need to know about Nick is the backstory, which he'll also share with us, how he spent 11 years in big box retail before he joined Chick-fil-A, challenging the constant sentiment, we've got to grow revenue and get better talent, with a question. He would ask, well, what if we hired people like the people at Chick-fil-A? And then he thought, well, what if I worked at Chick-fil-A? So listen into this great culture story and also the leadership lessons in embracing the unknown and blooming where you're planted. And we'll talk about the connection between those two. Also, you'll learn that my pleasure is not a catchphrase. It's a way of life. Check it out.
You know, my journey started about 15 years ago, and I worked in what was called the men's furnishing section. I don't know if they still call it that or not, at Macy's department store. And basically, I sold shirts and ties and suits in the men's department. And that's really where I crafted, you know, the salesman type of personality. And I loved hitting a sales goal and achieving those metrics, but really I did it by just connecting with the customer. And about 2 years in, I was asked to take a role in an administrative office they had at Macy's. And I was kind of resistant to it. I really enjoyed my time with the customer. And, you know, I had become skilled at dealing with customer service issues. And what I learned by taking that role in the administrative office, I got to work closely with the HR manager, and I saw how skilled she was with dealing with the internal customer, right? The people piece. And I saw the impact that had on the business. So that seed was always there in my mind, this kind of HR life. But when I graduated, I went on to work for Target in a variety of roles and sales and logistics roles. And really enjoyed my time there as well. Great company, a lot of great best practices in the industry, but had always stayed in touch with the folks at Macy's, and they called me back to work at their flagship store in Indianapolis. So spent 5 years there, really had a great opportunity there. But every time, you know, every time we got around the leadership table at Macy's and Target, you know, two topics would inevitably come up. One of them would be, okay, we got to grow sales over last year, right? We got to be LY. We're all familiar with that. And we have to hire great people. We need great talent working for us, which every business is saying, or they should be, right, in some capacity. And I always found myself saying, what if we just hired people like Chick-fil-A? Those are such good people. You know, I ate at the mall food court probably more than I should have and got to interact with the staff at Chick-fil-A and just admired how friendly they were and polite and professional. And after 11 years of saying, what if we just hired people like Chick-fil-A does, I had this thought, what if I just went and worked at Chick-fil-A? And the way that came about, I actually, during COVID, was on furlough from Macy's and sitting around the neighborhood pool, and I happened to get an email for a free chicken sandwich at Chick-fil-A. And I thought, oh, perfect. This is a great way to get a free chicken sandwich for lunch. So there's that. At the time, there were two stores that were relatively close to my house, and I happened to pick the one that I didn't often go to for some reason, right? And when I got there, I couldn't believe how busy they were. There were cars coming from every direction. It was just like a random Tuesday afternoon. And I didn't know if they just had a grand opening or if they were giving away free money. I didn't know what they were doing, but and I thought, wow, this is unbelievable. I was kind of used to the mall food court, which would get busy at times. So there's a gas station nearby, and I thought, well, I'm going to sit here for about 10 minutes, and if the line comes down, I'll get in it. If not, it wasn't really meant to be. And sure enough, the line calmed down in those 10 minutes. And right as I pulled in the parking lot, I saw this vehicle kind of turning in front of me, and I waved the gentleman forwards. And as he turned in front of me, the side of the car read Chick-fil-A. And something in my mind told me, this is probably someone who works here. And for whatever reason, probably because I didn't have a job at the time, but, you know, I had always admired the brand. And it was a nice sunny day. Everyone had their windows down. I thought, if I get side by side with him, I'm just going to yell out the window, hey, are you hiring? And unfortunately, we never got side by side, but I did get my meal first. And I parked at the end of the drive-thru there and walked back through the drive-thru. Of course, I now know that's like a big sin to hold up the production of the flow. And I walked up to his car and said, sir, are you the owner-operator? And he said, yes, I am. I said, well, are you looking to hire leaders for your restaurant? He said, well, we're always looking for good talent, right? And we pulled around out of the way to the front of the restaurant. I said, well, you know, HR is really this my passion and just developing people. What do you have around that space? And he said, well, we've gone 18 months without an HR leader, so we could certainly use one. And 3 weeks later, I was working at Chick-fil-A. So that's kind of my personality and my story in a nutshell.
I mean, talk about timing. How fortuitous is that? It's such an example of all the stars aligning.
Yeah, I just, I couldn't believe it. And I didn't really put it together. You know, I told a lot of people that story, especially when I first got the job. And my dad said, what was he doing going through his own drive-thru? Which I hadn't considered before, but he was testing the speed of service, and I'm so glad he was.
Uh-huh. Me too, for your sake. So, I mean, there's so many things in that story. First of all, the courage that it took. I mean, is that your personality? Is that because of the seeds that you had been planting and your love for the brand? And like, what do you attribute that to, the courage that it took to, hey, are you hiring? And start the conversation.
Yeah, I do think a lot of it's my personality. I'm a 7-wing 8 on the Enneagram, so and a recovering 3. My boss is a 3, so he loves when I say that. But, you know, 7s are known to be spontaneous and optimistic. And I've just found that is much more fruitful in my life than class half empty or being shy. And, you know, in that particular scenario, I had two choices, really. One, I could not say anything, or two, I could say something, and really the worst case scenario is he doesn't hear me, or he says, no, we don't need anybody. But the best case scenario actually happened, and it changed my life. It's been the one of the best career opportunities I've ever had, and I'm so thankful every day that I get to sit in the seat I get to sit in and work with the amazing folks I work with and serve probably the most loyal customers in the industry.
Yeah, so how long have you been there now?
It'll be 4 years this summer.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Because it was COVID when all this went down. So, okay. So you are a natural risk taker with your Enneagram 7, your spontaneity, your courage to put yourself out there. So I suspect that within your life and your career, Nick, there's lots of stories where you asked and it didn't come to fruition, but it just so happens that this time it did.
Yeah. And, you know, the ones that didn't come to fruition, when I look back, I'm like, oh, that was probably a good thing. And what I've learned about myself, you know, there's healthy versions of all of us and not so healthy versions. You know, I have to safeguard against, you know, not being healthy with this 7-wing 8 or even weaponizing it. That combination allows me to you know, kind of unlock a lot of doors, or, you know, I don't like the phrase get my way, but, you know, if I don't use that in a healthy way, I'll end up getting something that I probably shouldn't have. And that has always like not been good. So, you know, I have to be real healthy about, you know, how I use it. And I've gotten much better over the years because it's too painful when you mess up or, you know, you use it in a way that isn't meant for your gifting, I guess.
Yeah. It's all about self-awareness, isn't it? And paying attention in the moments. I mean, that's why those for me, those assessment instruments do is just, it gives me language for my natural motivators and ways of thinking about things. And so that I can be more aware in the moment of potential trouble spots and where to really press into my strengths. And it's a good reminder to just always be paying attention.
Yeah. I find, the trait of being self-aware is so underrated, and I've worked really hard over the years to kind of sharpen that skill. And that is often what saves me in my marriage. My wife will say, at least you're aware of whatever mistake I'm making. And we've probably all had those folks on our team or in our lives that we've tried to coach or get feedback, and they just don't get it. It's almost like, even for me, I'm like, okay, now what do we do? Yeah, when people don't see it or they're not willing to work on it, that's a tough one to this day. And yeah, I've been doing this for a little while now.
Because where do you go from there? I mean, there's no growth opportunity then. It kind of stifles potential, doesn't it? I mean, I have my feelings wheel behind me. You can probably see that. So it's in the spirit of awareness. It just pushes me to, okay, what's beyond sad or angry or happy even? Like what am I really feeling? It's been a great self-awareness tool for me over the last few years because I am also an Enneagram 7. And as you know, we don't like to sit in pain. We are naturally optimistic. So it's helped me to name, okay, it's not anger that I'm feeling. It's really insignificance, or it's really jealousy, or it's really envy. You know, it's pushed me to go deeper.
Yeah, that is so good. That made me think of two different things. You know, one of my colleagues, I reported to him and now we're colleagues. I would bring an issue to him and, you know, kind of get animated, right? That's my 8. And he would just say, what problem are you trying to solve? And after a while, I would start with that. Here's the problem I'm trying to solve. And I think, you know, asking those questions of what problem am I trying to solve, or what's actually beneath the surface here, really helps kind of get some of the noise out of the way. I picture that kid's beach toy, the sand sifter, and you know, you have to like shake all the sand out to find the shells. And sometimes we start grabbing the sand thinking it's shells. So yeah, that has been helpful for me in my life. And you know, over the years and performance reviews, I've had supervisors say, you know, that I learn from my mistakes. And I thought that was probably a good trait to have, but I never really knew why that was the case. But as I learned more about the Enneagram, 7s don't like being uncomfortable. So I thought this is too embarrassing or painful or financially costly. So it's not that I'm like super smart. It's just that mistakes are too painful for a 7. So that's been a blessing in my life. But to be able to connect it in that way has been really good. So, but I still mess up a lot. Don't get me wrong.
Don't we all? Works in progress. You know, going back to the story, one of the key takeaways is, you know, embracing the unknown and being willing to put yourself out there. But as when we were first unpacking the story, another lesson for you through this season was blooming where you're planted. And I, you know, initially when you talked about that lesson, it felt like a bit of a juxtaposition between the like, oh, putting yourself out there and taking a risk. And so talk a little bit about the value for you in blooming where you're planted and what that has looked like, especially during this season, what that looked like for you.
Yeah. You know, that was such an important lesson throughout my career. I never really quite knew what I wanted to be when I grew up. Right. And what I learned for myself, and I think it's applicable for a lot of folks early on, was whatever role I'm in, if I do really well at that role, it's going to set me up for my next role. And for example, when I worked at Macy's, one day randomly my boss said, hey, would you want to run the beauty department, cosmetics and fragrances? I thought he was kidding. I said, I don't know anything about lipstick. And he said, well, this is about the people. And it's not, you know, we just happen to be selling lipstick. So I said yes. And I was terrified to do that. But it was such an exciting role for me. And I learned so much about leading people and leading leaders. And really, my long-term goal was to kind of get back into that HR world. But I thought, I can be an HR manager every day. I had a big team. I had 100 people on my team. So, you know, that's the mindset I had. And I thought, boy, if I lead these leaders really well, and I'm their HR manager every day, and if we sell a lot of lipstick, then it's going to unlock whatever door comes in the future. So, yeah, it it can be this like tension, especially for kind of some different personality types, right? Like a seven or a recovering three, like myself. So, you know, I have to keep all that in balance and in check. And yeah, I think blooming where you're planted can go a long way in someone's career or personal life, quite frankly.
Well, and that they can go hand in hand, that I can be unsure about the future and where I'm going and really what I want and maximizing my current situation. I can do those things at the same time, right? Looking for the opportunities. Maybe it's not the work itself, but is it the relationship building? Is like, what can you learn? I think that was my takeaway when I listened to you talk about your experience there.
It's been really, really helpful for me. And now as I continue to not get any younger, you know, as I, you know, mentor new leaders in our organization or other organizations, it's been kind of nice to impart that wisdom on them.
Yeah. It also makes me think of a question I get so often as a coach and a facilitator is, you know, I'm just not sure if I'm happy. Like, should I stay? Should I go? And I always think like, well, why does it have to be like one or the other? You know, why can't you right now look for the opportunities where you are and continue to explore? And no doubt you get that question as well. And it's consistent with what you were saying. So anything to add to that, or how would you approach that question?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a combination of going back to bloom where you're planted, right? Like someone might not be in their, what they feel like is their dream job, or it's not totally filling their bucket, but I bet there's skills that they can learn, right? They're surrounded by people or the tasks they're assigned. It's going to serve them in whatever their next role is. And, you know, it's like that old cliche, like you'll know it when you see it or when you find it. And that's what Chick-fil-A is for me. It's just, I saw a meme or a quote somewhere that said, you know, culture is the way your team members or your employees feel Sunday night in their head, in their heart, in their stomach before Monday morning. And Sunday, of course, we're closed, but I love what I get to do. And, you know, there's stressful days and there's headaches, but it just seems less intense because it's for a greater purpose and a greater mission. And I know some people are searching for what their calling is or what their career path is. So I try not to take it for granted. And I've loved every minute of it. It's been such an incredible blessing.
Yeah. I'd love for you to talk a little bit more about the culture and what you attribute some of those really cool things to. Because it is a brand that we know we've experienced the, you know, you talked earlier when you met the owner operator of the franchise that you work for, you know, you talked about we've all been in that line. We know the operational mastery, the operational excellence that is that line. I mean, and the friendliness and, so the experience is incredible, and no doubt the employee experience drives that customer interaction and the experience we have as customers. So talk a little bit more about what you see behind the scenes. Like what do you attribute that experience to?
Yeah, I get asked that frequently, and you know, it's still hard to even totally put words to it. There's just something magical about it, but you know, there's a few components I think that make it the way that it is. And you know, we're on the third generation of a family-owned business. So, you know, not being publicly traded is kind of an advantage, although I definitely want those folks to do well. My 401k depends on it. It's a family-owned business. And, you know, I say that my pleasure is not a catchphrase. It's a way of life. And, you know, we just take that so seriously. And even behind the scenes, if my boss calls me and says, hey, I need you to do X, Y, Z, and can you send that to me? Yes, of course. Thanks, Nick. And I will genuinely say, my pleasure. And MP, if we're texting, right, for short. And then we invest a lot of resources in training our people. And I know that sounds like, you know, kind of like tell us something new. But, you know, I've just seen other organizations, they sit behind a computer for several hours or days. And then they kind of get pushed out to take on their task. But we have people side by side. Our training team is with our new team. And then our leadership team is in the restaurant working side by side with our team. So myself included. So I make a mean milkshake and, you know, I'm in the drive-thru sometimes taking orders. And oftentimes my office is table number 7 or table number 21 in the dining room. And I'll joke with people when they meet me in my office. I say, here it is. Here's my corner office with a window view. Because, you know, we're in the dining room. And, you know, we certainly have a rigorous interview process. But, you know, the number one question I get is, how do you train your people? Where do you find your people? And occasionally our customers will ask me that in the dining room. And I'll kind of look around and I'll, you know, I won't name names here, but, you know, I'll say, well, they're from all the folks we have, you know, probably at least 50% came from our competitors and they were already in the marketplace. And I think we're just doing a little bit better job of stewarding them and shepherding them in a way that makes them want to stay, and that a 14-year-old or a 21-year-old genuinely says my pleasure after every interaction and means it, you know. And the chicken tastes amazing too, so that doesn't hurt.
It's so good. Yeah, there's these values-based principles that are so foundational in the culture. I mean, just like the my pleasure catchphrase. I love that. It's not a catchphrase. It's a way of life. Yeah, it permeates the culture. It provides this foundation. And one of the things that you and I talked when we talked the first time, I brought up the Christian-based nature of Chick-fil-A. And I mean, I know that's even been a bit controversial and you all have gotten some backlash for that. And so you shared a perspective that I didn't realize. And maybe somebody talk a little bit about that aspect of your culture.
Yeah, that's a kind of common question too. But, you know, our founder, Truett Cathy, who's since passed, and his grandson is now running the company. You know, the way he kind of framed it up was that he didn't want a Christian company, so to speak, and we're definitely not a church, but he wanted a company based on Christian principles. And I think when you just look at the fundamentals of those, you know, love your neighbor and don't steal and be kind, you know, all of those things are, I think those are things we should be doing, you know, especially at work. And, you know, we don't screen for it in the interview process. And there's, if you didn't know anything about Chick-fil-A and you just showed up, you would have no clue that that's, you know, part of our fabric and DNA. But, you know, at the end of the day, everyone has faith in something, even if their faith is in nothing, that's still a faith in something. So, you know, that's just, it's just there. And we have folks and customers from all walks of life. And I think we have a very strong track record of serving everyone with love, which kind of goes back to the love your neighbor thing and love your enemies. And certainly I don't think we had any enemies rolling through, but you know, if you're supposed to love your neighbor and love your enemy, I think that covers about everybody. So, and we don't always get it right. Right. We're imperfect, but I think we do a lot of times, and we're working every day to make sure that we serve our guests better tomorrow than we did tonight.
Yeah. I think there are some misnomers about the organization that you just helped to clarify. So thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, kind of a funny story. I don't know why it just popped to my mind, but you know, about my pleasure being a way of life, not a catchphrase. One of my HR business partners, we happened to get to the restaurant fairly early one day, and she kind of parked in front of me and she didn't see me. And we both got out of the car. She didn't see me. You know, I happened to see her based on where I parked, and we were both picking up trash in the parking lot, right? That just happens occasionally. And as we're walking in, my shoe kind of made a noise, or she heard me and she turned around, and we were both holding trash, you know, that we had picked up off the ground. She smiled at me and I just looked at her and said, I win, because I had happened to pick up a dirty diaper from the ground. But if we're out on a family walk or something, like, I'm always like picking up Chick-fil-A trash. You know, it's just one of those things, like, you know, we don't want to see the brand discarded in that way. So my wife's like, you'll pick up trash on a walk, but you can't pick up your socks. So I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
And it is such a good example of the Christian or values-based principles. I mean, humility and servant leadership is foundational in the business. That's what that is, right? Is that we're all in this together. We all have a part to play. I'm gonna pay attention to opportunities to serve, to lead, and whatever that looks like. Picking up dirty diapers.
You know, it's made a big difference. And, you know, one thing that I love is that I have this leadership profile I share with really anyone who's working with me or who wants to see it. And it has the good, bad, and ugly of Nick as a leader. And I know myself so much better, you know, what fills my bucket and what frustrates me. And my team knows because I share it with them. But the best part about all that, in my opinion, is they have permission to call me out on it. And, you know, early on in my career, I hid those things, or I downplayed them, or maybe even lied about them. But now to say, yep, that is true, and that does happen, and thank you for calling me out on it. And we don't weaponize it, and we don't use it as an excuse, and I still have to get better at it. But it's so liberating, and you think it wouldn't be, but it really is. And, you know, that's part of our culture, too.
That's such a great lesson. Yeah, just acknowledging areas of weakness. Well, and we need each other. There's such humility in acknowledging, here's an area that I'm not strong in, so I need your help. I need you to call me out when I'm pressing into that in a way that's not helpful for you or others.
Yeah, because we all have these blind spots, and, you know, we can see them in other people, right? Because, you know, they're probably not our blind spots, but I have them too, and I need my peers to call me out on them when they happen.
Well, Nick, this is amazing. I mean, we've come full circle. We're back to self-awareness, aren't we? And paying attention and recognizing those things in yourself. That's so good. Well, so we started with you taking a risk to say, are you hiring? And now you're in this incredible role that is such a good mix of all of the strengths and all the experience you've had. I mean, I just see how all that's playing out now in this role and the part that you get to play in shaping this incredible culture that you're a part of. Thanks for bringing that to life for us and sharing those keys, the things that make your culture so unique.
Well, you know what we say, my pleasure.
My pleasure. Well, it has been such a pleasure to get to know you, to learn from you. Thank you for the great work you're doing. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your insight with us. If our listeners want to connect with you, and no doubt they will, what's the best place to find you?
Yeah, I think the best place would be on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active there. I'd love to chat and connect with you and invite you out to the restaurant. Let's have lunch together.
You could have lunch at the corner office, Nick's corner office.
Yeah, exactly. Window view.
Awesome. Thank you, my friend.
My pleasure.
Thank you for joining us for this episode. Please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast to never miss a Being at Work story.